You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM. And as you know, our signal goes throughout southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And we're very happy to have all of you joining us. If you know someone, contact them, give them a call in that tri-state area, and invite them to tune into 860 AM. If you have Alexa, Alexa, 860 AM, and our broadcast will come on. If you're on the internet listening, remember, we're always available with our site, going to the Listen Live link. And you can also listen to rebroadcasts following the show. About 2 hours later, we put it all up there, thanks to our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. I want to tell you that we are doing a wonderful job uniting people. And the more that I'm hearing the news media start to talk a little bit the way we've been talking for a long time here, it's a pleasure. I'd like to say a special thank you to our panel members, Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store, and he'll be marking his 10th anniversary on April the 3rd, and of course, we'll be talking more about that as time gets closer. And Larkin Connolly, our national small business advocate, always available to give us some get up and go in these conversations. And Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and of course, Curtis Ellis, who is out there working with the American First, America First Project. And wow, America is now first on the minds of most people. I'm Michael Blihash, and our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. We've had some real strange situations with Verizon, and I just before I go to our guests and give a little talk, I want to tell everyone, first of all, make sure you do not give any kind of private information to these telemarketers that call on the phone. That's very big. No private information, no matter how they sound like they know you, they're talking from some spreadsheet. Don't give personal information, period. Now, when dealing with a company like Verizon, make sure you do not continue the conversation unless you know who you're speaking to, number one, and you get their employee ID. Because dealing with them, they become such a big company that they don't want to give information. They treat you less than a customer should be treated. And of course, when they mess something up, they always know how to push the blame on someone else. So be very cautious dealing with Verizon and possibly other carriers, which I don't have that much to do with. Well, during our last broadcast, we spoke about how 70% of America's economy has been based on spending our money right here in the USA on American-made products and services offered by American workers. And our campaign has continued to promote that message, urging people to stick together and promote one another. When I'm listening to people in the news media, I'm going out to all these events, everyone has their own thinking, their own anger fest about something, but no one's really urging people to stick together. Well, the fact that 70% of every dollar that Americans use to buy their products and services is made through their hard work or their savings, or however they're doing that, has to be continued to be brought up a little bit more. With all that's happening in the world today, it's important that we start pushing that message more than ever. And I'll tell you why I'm saying that. Today, as I was coming in, a person told me that they are having a major crisis in their life, and so is everyone else in the bridal store. I said, why? They said, the gowns were ordered from the company in Pennsylvania, and they had no idea that the kilns were being made in China. No idea. It was some fancy collection, and the stuff is not going to be there in time for their wedding, which is supposed to be final fitted in the next couple weeks so that they could be married in 2 months. That's number one. So be careful. Start looking at those labels and ask questions of people where you're shopping, because this is what it's all about. There's another very important notice. The United States Food and Drug Administration estimates that at least 80% of the drugs now sold in America and authorized by doctors are either made in China or a lot of their active ingredients are primarily made in China. This is another crisis. We're going to see people unable to have their medicines in a couple weeks. They're buying medicine from everywhere and the kitchen sink to try to make sure that they have no problem getting the medicine to the people. Now, this is one of the many reasons that we have a drug administration. And this is one of the reasons our drug companies closed in America. And we are now buying healthcare products made in China. How did that happen? What national leaders were out there? What were they doing during the last 30 years? This has been happening. We did a follow this week, follow up on the internet. 30 years ago, it was 1%, then it went to 5%, then 15%, then 30%, then 60%. Now it's 80%. You can go on the Google yourself and you find out that 80% of the drugs sold in America are now made in China. How did our national leaders allow this to happen during the last 30 years? Both Democrats and Republican administrations were leading this country. How did they let it happen? This was stated by Curtis Ellis last week, and I'm glad he brought it up because people were kind of shocked. They said, what? So they went and looked it up, and they contacted me and said, it's a fact. 80% of the drugs we're taking, our doctors are administering, are made in China. The big question today I'm going to ask, and I'm going to ask everybody on the panel that's with us to make a comment. Pay close attention to this question. Where were America's national elected leaders for the last 30 years as America's health prescription industries were relocated to China and other countries? Where were they? By the way, where was Senator Sanders to ask why American jobs were being lost in the United States and gained by foreign workers preparing the prescription drugs to ship to America from China so that you and I and whoever else needs them can have them available at the pharmacy? Where was Senator Biden? Where was Senator Ted Cruz? Senator Elizabeth Warren? How about Senator Rubio? Senator Booker? Senator Toomey? Where were the other 535 members of the United States House and Senate on both sides of the aisle when this was happening? Also, the Food and Drug Administration reports to national elected leaders every year when they have their budget hearings prior to the passage of the annual budget. Why didn't any of those senators or congressmen voice their opinions as they saw our industries being closed and shipped overseas? The Food and Drug Administration, we as taxpayers, pay those people. Why the hell am I standing at a prescription place to get a drug made in China? Isn't there anybody qualified in America to do it? This is a total disgrace. We're talking about getting people to speak up to their elected officials. This is an issue you should call your elected officials about and tell them what why were our industries closed here in the USA, getting rid of our workers, and they shipped them to China, coming over on these big containers, being shipped. This is also part of the problem. While so many drugs were available in the system, they were overprescribed, number one, and secondly, there were a lot of stuff on the street. It was an abundance of drugs on the street. Everywhere I go, people tell me they have a problem. Somebody has a problem. Well, it's time for national leaders to take hold on this and do something about this. This is an industry that should never be outsourced anywhere. I'm going to ask our panel for some comments on this very important issue. How about we go to Mark? Mark, what do you think of what just went on?
Yeah, hi, Mike. How are you and the panel? Welcome. You know, Mike, you're hitting on something I've been on for a long time with the Made in America stores, and you know, having the drugs made overseas. You talk about it, but it's all about their investments. These political leaders, it's about themselves. They're being selfish. They investment in foreign countries and pharmaceutical. A big question, and there's no, not only the FDA or the Food and Drug Administration or, you know, OSHA I deal with, or the inspection companies I deal with for quality in the United States. All this is lacked when you go to the third world or another country. You know, they don't have our same standards, Mike. We're heavy with that in the welding side. I became a CWI certified welding inspector just for these reasons, to carry quality and parameters. But on the drugs, you absolutely want it. My question also back to you is, where is the flu shot made that they push on everybody, right?
Well, here's another thing I wanted to really frightening to you, Mark.
Yeah.
The needle that the doctor gives you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Made in you know where.
Yeah, you know, and no standards. I use stainless steel all the time, pharmaceutical. You know, it's got to be type 304 or surgical grade stainless, 316, 330. There's Inconel. You know, these needles are 17 series stainless that are, you know, everything. You can go into, the magnets and the rare earth minerals that are used to guide our missiles. Mike, we've talked about this for years. It's not common sense to have these things made in other countries or overseas, but you ask why. It's all that they're selfish. It's about their dollar, their portfolio, their investments. Follow the money trail, Mike.
Well, you're very good point. Mark, let me tell you something. When I brought this up, I called one of our big deal elected officials, who is not really a big deal, but a weasel, somebody that you can barely find from most of the time. You have to hunt them down on the phone to get an answer. Oh, well, this is how it's been presented as a better way. What is a better way than having Americans employed making the drugs to keep our people healthy? Why are we bringing those drugs in from overseas? Who's really administering this? This could be part of the problem that we've gone through hell with the overdosing of drugs, over-prescribing of drugs in this country. There has to be a whole look on this. And when I hear these candidates for all kinds of offices, not only the presidency, and I don't want to pick on the presidents, and I made a pact with a few people. I'm not picking on Mr. Sanders. I'm not picking on Mr. Biden. I'm not picking on Mr. Trump. I'm letting the chips fall where they will. And we will see what the people decide in November. I don't want to say this one is this and this one is that. God bless the candidates. I want to hear the candidates talk about why our industries closed in this country, leaving millions of people out of jobs. I want to hear the candidates talk about what they're going to do to restore skilled workers in this country through our education system. I want to hear what they're going to do. And by the way, they had this, I was told this week, that through the trade agreements, a lot of these things were permitted to come to this country. They never permitted American drug manufacturers to grow. but they permitted all these drugs to come from foreign countries to fill us up. People, you do not know what you're taking in your house. You read the paperwork with the drugs that you're receiving. It doesn't tell you much. Doesn't tell you where it's made. It just tells you what it's going to do, precautions, and this and that. I did check most of it out. It's the people who are dispensing it at your pharmacy who know where it's coming from. You can even ask them. Let's get the ball rolling, asking more questions than they want to hear. This is what it is. It's big business, Mark. You're absolutely right. If those drugs were made in America, the politicians would get less money for their campaigns and for all of their funds. And when they come from foreign countries, it's cheap labor, ship it in, distribute it, and then say, hey, I helped you. Now I want you to help me. Mark, it's really a strange situation. Let me take a minute and go to Rich. How are you doing, Rich?
Hey, Michael.
It's a subject that's got me riled up because everybody and their grandmother, they're saying that, oh, we're going to have a shortage of this and a shortage of that because China's not shipping. It's not allowed to come in. What the hell is it doing over there in the first place?
Well, you know, globalism, Mike, when Curtis is on, he talks a lot in his work, all his articles, his videos. He talks a lot about globalism. And that term is highly associated with a lot of wacky conspiracy theorists and people who are not really they don't reflect well on nationalism, which is what also Curtis talks about. But eventually, Michael, you know, eventually nothing lasts forever. Nothing lasts forever, and globalism. What it is now, we are starting to see the outcomes about what this is, and what was the intended outcome of a NAFTA, right? What was the intended outcome, Mark, of offshoring? The intended outcome was to increase profits for shareholders. It was to make goods less costly. But the problem, Michael, now in hindsight when we look at it, the problem with that way of thinking is it was seeking an economic equal outcome. And as I write in my book, 10 Warning Signs Your Child is Becoming a Democrat, How to Make America Grown Up Again, the Earth has existed for approximately 14 quadrillion, 600 trillion seconds and counting.
Oh, brother, I love it.
In those 14 quadrillion seconds, there's never been a singular second of an equal outcome in anything, not in economics, not in politics, Mark, not in anything you could think of, not in business, not in anything. So what Curtis's movement is about, what he does is, and you talk about it, Michael, is that we've had a pendulum swing very far to one side. Outsourcing, it's certainly harmed our inner cities, despite Democrat rule in so many cities, outsourcing, which is a bipartisan problem. It's a GOP problem, especially. It's a bipartisan problem. Globalism is a bipartisan problem, Michael. And the bipartisan problem stems from one side that says let's be global, right? Republicans say let's be global in our economic policy. You know, global, global, global. And then you've got Democrat side, which is just let's be global so we get more bodies come to America. And once we get more bodies come to America, eventually we outnumber everybody. How is either one of those working good for the country, right? How is one, let's just be global, we'll get to the American people, we'll get to the American side, like Mark, right? We'll get to Mark. First, we need to get to Shanghai first, we need to get to Mexico first. And all of us, Michael, have, to some extent, benefited from the cheap labor. We all have been, right, to some extent, all of us have in some way, shape, or form, and some of us continue to. But one side says, let's be global, let's bring bodies in. Just bring bodies into America. Just fill up our country with more bodies, right, Democrat side, and eventually we'll give them a voter registration card. And then the other side, Republican side, says, no, don't worry about Mark. Just make everything global because, of course, no one ever thought, we won't have any hard time competing against a billion-plus people. Larkin, right? In a communist country, in a cheap labor country, of course we won't have any problems with it. That's the narrative out of the Biden campaign about China. It's, hey, what me worry? That's the narrative out of there. So you said follow the money trail, Michael. Neither one of those styles of globalism is good for the nation, and now we're starting to see it.
We've seen it in the last few years. I've never seen people have their eyes open like they have now. The sad part of it is, after you knock something down, everybody knows, after you knock something down, it's a very slow process to rebuild it. We are in a rebuilding process, and a lot of people will be hurt because things don't happen overnight. The fact that bridal dresses with fancy designer names, where nobody knew they were coming from, are now unable to be delivered in time for the wedding because the dresses were being made in China. Interesting. Mike, very interesting.
You know, Mike, we've been talking about this, me and you, for 5-6 years. I've been, Made in America's 10-year anniversary, but I can't help. And Rich, you'd love how many people are coming up to me. We should make our stuff here. We should do this. We should do that. And I'm kind of, all of a sudden, the light bulb's on, with the coronavirus and all this going on. Yes, common sense. But what it takes to wake people up is amazing. This has been happening for 30, 35 years, right?
And, yes.
We talk about this every time, but you would not believe, Mike, how the people are coming to me now. And, we got to build more in our country. And, I said, yeah, we've been talking about this for quite a while. It's just ironic, especially the foods and the drugs and, just the common sense items. We've lost control and, we're way out of balance. But we're getting more talk and more talk, and you're hearing it on TV a little bit more about Made in America and why it's important, way more than just, buying that product at a cheaper price, but the quality, the control for pets, for toys, for kids' toys, and all this we've been discussing on our other show and whatnot. Lately, it's just getting stronger and stronger, of course, with what's going on in the world. We do have control over what we purchase and where we purchase it.
That's right. And
Can I make one quick comment before we have Larkin on?
Absolutely.
Because it just reminds me about what we said. Guys, Mark, last night I was at an event. It was a political event. And I got into a discussion about, so President Obama won, if you guys are aware of this, President Obama actually won an Oscar for the Netflix documentary that he made, he produced, about closing of American factories he won an Academy Award, right? And that's why I always say, like Howie Weird and the Democrats, like these people move in one direction. You got to give them credit. I really wish the Republican Party had this mentality. We go in 1,000 different directions. We do. These guys go in a singular direction. And I was talking with someone about how Obama won this Oscar, and I was saying how, look at the, sometimes life is so ironic that you miss what's in front of you, Michael. President Obama, which had wide Republican support, right, going into the 2016 election, widespread Republican support, President Obama wins an Oscar for, outsourcing, losing American jobs and factories, and he wanted to implement, NAFTA on, human growth hormone steroids with the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which had widespread Republican support. And I'm sitting here thinking, see, that's what I keep saying, Michael. We don't see what's just a millimeter in front of us. And that's why, to look at Curtis, what he does, what he's advised the president on, what he's advising lobbying groups on, everything that he's doing is about shifting back. I sound like a paid spokesman today for Curtis, but since he's not here, I want to give him a shout out. That's what he's doing. His goal is economic nationalism. We can have trade relations with other nations. We to some extent have to have them to some extent, Michael. But there's a difference between having relations where we don't get screwed and being dependent on them. That's the problem with globalism in America. It has made us a dependent nation.
You're right.
Anyone think the framers would have wanted us dependent upon any nation? Of course not.
Of course not. But you know what? All of this dancing around, trying to bring the world together, what globalization is meaning for people in America, it's no unemployment, or mainly no unemployment for like 30 years prior to the last few. It meant rising poverty in America, because when you have no jobs, you have rising poverty. I work in human services. When I speak to people, many of them are middle-aged and some are older now, who have never had the training, never had long-term jobs, because the jobs didn't exist in this country anymore. They were shipped overseas. This is why we have the poverty level that we have. How is it that other nations, their poverty level has dropped significantly, and yet in America, our poverty level is going up? As Larkin says, so many children every night go to bed hungry. How is that even possible? Of course, we're finding out more and more. The bridal dresses won't be on time because they closed down the manufacturing of the dress company in China. The drug companies are scared because a lot of the drugs have not been able to come, so they're running to Canada and other places. Why can't they run to some state here in the USA to get an extra shift on to make the drugs? We're showing ourselves how stupid our leaders were. You and I can't make these kinds of things, but the people sitting there in the Congress, the people listening to the drug administration's budget and what they're doing and how they're doing, making sure that the products are perfect and the drugs that we receive are the highest quality. But how are we knowing that they're the highest quality coming from some other country? The Food and Drug Administration can only be dependent to do what's in our country. It's a national security issue, as far as I'm concerned, right now. Not only is it a disgrace, and all these senators and congressmen should be asked this question. I noticed that when it was announced about 10 days ago that there may be a drug crisis because China wasn't shipping the drugs, I thought, what? So then I went, and then Curtis brought it up. I went on the internet. I looked, 80% from China. I said, what the hell is this? No wonder all of our industries are closing down, our drug producers. The price hasn't gone down. It's coming over here cheap, but somebody in the middle is gorging themselves with our money, making a fool out of the American people, and mainly making a fool out of the 535 elected people who've been watching this for 30 years. And many of those people have been sitting in those same seats for 30 years. They should be held to task. With that, I'm going to see if Larkin is with us.
Yeah, I'm here.
And you hear, you heard what today's situation is. And it is a total disgrace. That means, Larkin, this stuff you're taking is China. Thank China. You have gas? Thank China. All this other stuff. Hey, bring China into the picture. You need gas X? Wonderful. Call China and say we can't be without that supply. Today they were arguing here in Philadelphia that we want to know, make sure there's no toilet paper shortage. And then somebody called in and says, well, if we can't have toilet paper, we'll go to tissues. If we can't have toilet tissues, then we'll go to paper towels. It's all insanity. It's all insanity. The people haven't looked at their own national well-being for over 30 years. These goats sitting in Washington, what have they been doing? Yeah, Larkin, I'm shutting you up.
That's okay. You've mentioned so many things that it's hard for me to figure out where I want to begin. I want you all, let's see if we can start with this exercise, and I'll try to have y'all to close your eyes and pretend like you have a $1,800 suit on with a $300 tie and a $250 shirt and a pair of $600 shoes on your feet. And you're sitting at a big desk in a big office with a bunch of chairs surrounding that desk. And you have people from all over your corporation coming into your office asking you questions and trying to get some sense of direction as to where the corporation or the company that you're running is going. That individual sitting in that position, as well as every member that works for that company, has a fiduciary responsibility to the shareholders to return as much money for their investment as possible. Hmm. What we're witnessing now with China is a paradigm that China figured out. I'm ever so more becoming an anti-Chinese individual. I think China is running the world economy right now. I really do. And I'm not beyond suggesting that they created this pandemic we have right now. Because guess who's going to make the drugs that get us out of this pandemic? So China is on a mission to take over the United States' position in the world without the use of free enterprise. So, listen, Bernie talks about socialism. A decent conversations for us to think about, because in many people's minds in this country, all of those Sanders people that showed up yesterday, he lost every county in Michigan, every county in a state that he won 4 years ago. Everybody is starting to think about a little bit about socialism. Guys, what we have going on right now, listen to me very carefully. I don't care whether it's hard for you to hear or you're having a problem with it. The American free enterprise system right now is letting us down. And we would have to spit in the face of free enterprise in order to expect our government to repair the situation. It's not their job.
Yeah, but Larkin,
I rue the day that our government came in and saved the auto industry. How dare they? How dare they step their foot into free enterprise? Those cars would have been back on the road in less than 18 months, and the lesson that they should have learned, they would have learned. Instead, we just made it easy on them. We said to the banks, don't worry, you guys tried this blundering, foolish papering the streets with cheap money. We'll bail you out because you're too large to fail. Nobody's too large to fail in this country. Nobody, if you're going to live by free enterprise. And that's what's happened, essentially. I'm telling you, I mean, I just don't know any other way to explain it. It's free enterprise. It's the way it works.
You know, Larkin, you're right. And if you asked most people, did America lend any money to the auto industry, I would say that most people would not know that they did because they were too big to fail. And that is...
They bailed them out.
They bailed them out. And this, the sad part of it is, I think it's time that we ask a lot of questions of our businesses, of our elected officials. And Larkin, those people that are sitting there during those budget hearings in Washington, they're not just there to sit and relax and have a good time. They're supposed to ask questions. When somebody comes to talk with me, I ask questions. That's what they should be doing. They should have said, they should have asked a question. Let's take, for instance, the electronics in the country. They should have asked the question, why is it that everything went overseas? How about our cell phones? If every one of you looked at your cell phones, your batteries, your cords, why isn't it made in America? If you look at your computers, why
because
aren't they
we
made?
Can't.
Why?
We can't.
Why
we
can't are, we do it? Why?
Because we have unions. Our workers have power.
The unions.
And they can strike. And as a result, we pay auto workers $48 an hour. There's nobody. There are CEOs.
But Larkin, the point is,
the
point is this, which this is the biggest joke of them all. We're talking about cell phones, right? The cell phones are made foreign. They come to the United States. They are 1,000% profited, which means whatever they paid for the phone, maybe it's $80 they paid for the phone to be in this store case. When you are renting it or buying it, it's $800.
That's correct.
The profit margin is in somebody else's hands. My point the entire time I've been on the broadcast in the past 20 years is if, whether it's union or what non-union, the thing is, if that phone costs to make in America $400 and it was sold for $800, then that's the way business is done. But when you're bringing in a product for $80 and selling it here on the American market for $800. It's got to the point now, they don't even want to sell you the phone.
Michael,
they want to rent you the phone.
One of the backbones of free enterprise is supply and demand.
Right.
People want the Apple phone, and people will pay for the Apple phone.
I would pay for a Larkin phone if it had Larkin. A Larkin's specialty phone. I wouldn't care where, what the name was or where it came from. I want a phone. I want a phone that's going to work. Why can't it be invented and remade in America? My first phone was made here in America. It was wonderful. My second phone was made in Texas. All of a sudden, some foreign country took it and they're making it there.
Because
why?
They agreed to make it for $80.
We got to make the choice.
That's why.
Right. Here's another thing before I forget. I brought this to the attention of some of my media friends, and they said, Michael, let me tell you this. The way people think today in America, news, they're very short on the memory. They look at the news, and within one day, they forgot about it. Totally forgot about it because everything is going on as normal. They wake up in the morning, they turn the radio on, they get in the car. They're not concerned. They didn't understand that the drugs were made in China. The only thing that would have shaken them up, the only thing that would shake them up is the fact that if they thought that the factory was being opened during the flu situation in China and being shipped over here regularly. Instead, they were cut off from sending it over. Now there's a crisis in America. The big deals in the drug industries are worried. Oh, my God. What are we going to do? People are going to find out more and more about this. The drug companies are in America. They're the ones who are buying the stuff and bringing it in. They're not going to tell you. The national news media is not going to tell you because those drugs, you sit there and watch television, you're watching cable, which you're paying to watch cable, and then you're watching a dozen advertisements during any given hour. Or you're paying to be a place to watch television where, and receive all these advertisements. Yes.
How can a hit of penicillin be one price in the United States, one price in Canada, and even cheaper in Europe? How's that happen?
That's because the Food and Drug Administration should be asking that question. And they should be asking the question of the people in Congress. What the hell are we doing? How is Canada cheaper? How is Europe cheaper?
Now you're a socialist. Now you're a socialist.
No.
Now you want to take charge of the companies. Now you want the government involved in the commerce of this country. And that will not work.
Well,
it won't work.
Larkin, 50-50 is a formula we can all live with. And 50-50...
Never had a problem.
50-50 is this is the bottom line. If you have 50% made in America, 50% foreign, then the person, the customer, you and I and everybody else, can take a choice. I'll buy American-made for 10 cents more or $10 more, or I'll buy foreign made. They then have a choice. Right now, they don't have a choice. We look at the cell phones. You look at the computers. Look at the clothing. Look at the toys. Look at the shoes. The shoes. Look at the household items.
Michael, do you know what will make it change? the fact that this coronavirus, if it turns into a pandemic and we don't have the drugs or we don't have the test kits and the cycle commercial supply line is coming out of China, then somebody somewhere is going to go, aha, this is great, except we can't get a wedding dress from China to America fast enough. We can't get drugs to China from China to America. Because what's China doing? They're selling drugs at this cost all through Asia. They're selling it to South America. They're selling it to Africa. They're flooding the markets in Europe. They're doing the Middle East to the degree that the Middle East takes drugs. They've built a world market. So we're going to find out. We're just another cow
okay.
on the teat of...
Larkin, yeah. If you went to get a prescription filled, you could say, okay, my insurance provider will pay toward this so much. If it's made in America, you may have to pay $3 extra. Let the pharmacist tell you it's an American-made product. If you want it, you have to pay the extra $3. I'd pay it.
Yeah, Mike,
because I'm tired of seeing the poverty. I'm tired of seeing the disrespect for the people in this country. I'm tired of riding down the streets and seeing people begging. I'm tired of seeing people not qualified to do a job because they weren't properly trained in the schools. Yes, Mark.
No, you want the quality. I'm thinking of my Jack Daniels. I want it made in the country. I wouldn't want made in China on it. You know, picture a big airplane with a made in China on it as the largest letters. Would you feel safe in it? You know, you got to have them controls. But Larkin's right. I still believe we can build the majority of this stuff here, but you got to have the want. You got to make the choice to, but you got to use technology. 3D printing, all your technologies. There's fabric and clothes being made completely by a machine. So there's ways to do it. You got to have the supply and demand, but you got to make the choice. It's not political. It's patriotic to build here.
Mark, as reported by the Food and Drug Administration, very little drugs were imported to this country 30 years ago. What happened?
Brazil,
what
they escaped
happened?
All the laws.
I've told you three times.
I know,
China,
but that's not good enough.
10 times cheaper.
Ten
times cheaper.
Larkin, if somebody wants a job in this country to become a specialist with manufacturing drugs and distributing drugs, they'll come to a way of thinking. Negotiations are doing it. You're right about the unions. There were unions that were very, very stern in their thinking. I know that some of the clothing unions and all were very stern, and that drove the clothing makers out of this country. But when they saw it happening the first 2 or 3 years, the union should have said, wait a minute, we're losing members. The non-union people should have said, wait, we're losing jobs. Nobody wanted to give in. Nobody went to the negotiation table. But most of all, no one suggested or brought them to the negotiation table. I went through so much craziness yesterday with this Verizon deal. These people just want to do anything they want to do. They give you an order. It's not the order you ordered. Oh, well, we thought, you know, oh, well, we were giving you a bundle package. I don't want that. I want what I want, not what you're suggesting, what I want.
So, listen. I'm going to tell you about patriotism in this country, and I'm as firm a patriot as Mark Gandel. I truly believe in this country, lock, stock, and barrel. But here's where, as a country, we are for patriotism right now. Bernie Sanders can draw flies. He can draw flies like the biggest piece of rotten meat I've ever seen in my life, but he can't get them to come out and vote for him. Because they believe in some of his rhetoric. What happened to Rich, by the way? I'm expecting Rich to jump in on this.
I'm ready, Mark. Go ahead. I'm ready. I'm gearing up. I'm just having an espresso right now. I'm just loading up the cannon. I'm loading up the cannon, Mark.
Okay.
Red Bull. Good.
Oh, not Red Bull.
I'm not looking for. I'm not looking for, my comments last week about Trump. Listen, it's a warning. I'm firing a warning over the hull that if Donald Trump thinks that he can continue to act the way he's acting, I'm number one and nobody's going to knock me off the stool. I'm number one, I've done all of this stuff, and he doesn't continue the campaign, which he's done, by the way, excuse me, very well. He's going to have a problem. But Bernie, he can draw flies, but he can't draw votes. He can't get people to vote for him because he's selling a bum deal. And most Americans know that. They show up to make a lot of noise and to protest, but when it comes down to casting the votes, where do they end up?
Well, the bottom line with that voting, I've been looking at the voting too. A number of people that came out the last time was much higher than the number of people that came out for the candidates now on the ballot. So you're going to see a different situation. That's why I'm pleading with everybody who gives me a story about these politicians. Are you registered to vote? And if they say, I'm about to do it, I say, well, you're not registered to vote, and why not? Did you vote in the last election? Well, no. Well, then don't talk politics and don't condemn any candidate. I'm not condemning any more candidates because both of these parties, these major parties, put America in this situation. No president, no vice president, no speaker of the House or the Senate brought people together to say, what are we going to do to get our industries up to speed to the 21st centuries? What are we going to do to make sure that every boy and girl that graduates high school is ready to get some level of job or move on to the next level of specialty, which is a college degree? Yes, Rich.
Michael, may I make a comment? And it's a follow-up for Warren. Cannon's loaded. I'm getting ready to launch it. And I had another experience last night that I want to share. And I think our audio engineer, who makes us sound great every week, swing voter in a swing state, Pennsylvania, we're going to earn his vote. I'm going to go early vote today, Michael, for our primary in Florida. But we're going to earn his vote, swing voter in a swing state. We need him on board. I was with, at this event I was at yesterday, there was a young voter, he was 23, and he's a Bernard Sanders supporter. Now, I just have to preface by saying, and Larkin, I'm just speaking for me here. I the youth is a big issue. I'm essentially writing a book for parents, but really about young people, about our youth. And I just cannot stand, Michael, the way, and I'm not saying us here, but I just cannot stand the way culturally in the Republican Party we talk about young people. I want to launch a cannon when I, you know, figuratively speaking, in case anyone's listening. You know, oh my God, he's advocating violence. No, it's a figurative speaking. I can't stand the way we talk about young people, calling them stupid, calling them, they're not stupid, Mike. They're not. The Republican Party doesn't know how to counter what the appeal is of Sanders for young people. And here's what I asked the young voter last night. Now, I could have taken two approaches, Lark, and I could have said, you're a moron, you're stupid, you're dumb, I wouldn't hire you to sell parachutes to skydivers. Probably not a good sales method, right, Michael? I mean, think about it. So instead of doing that, I came in this way, and I asked them a question because we were watching the returns come in, where Sanders was losing almost every state. And here's what I asked the young voter. I said, I want to ask you something. I don't want to ask about your ideology, your you know, what you think. But here's my question for you. Why do you think that every group in America, except young people, hasn't voted for Bernard Sanders? Are all those other groups all wrong and you're all right? Why is it that there's only one demographic that comes out to vote? Your guys' demographic, your generation. No one else does, Larkin. No one else does. It's for these Democrats. Now, look, I'm not a fan of Biden. I actually am going to file a claim, Michael, with the state of Delaware Adult Protective Services against Joe Biden and the Democratic National Committee for perpetrating the largest case of elder abuse in American history. And I mean that. If any of us as fathers, grandfathers, brothers, Larkin, regularly forgot where they were and regularly forgot their names, you wouldn't give them the keys to a car, you wouldn't let them take their own medication, you wouldn't let them operate a stove. What the Democratic National Committee intends to do is have that person hand the keys over to him to run the largest military economy in world history. I wish no ill will toward Joe Biden, and I mean that also, Michael. I really do. Despite my not liking his politics, and probably I wouldn't like him personally, I wish the man no ill will. We are watching the largest, most unprecedented, massive scale of elder abuse in American history with Joe Biden's candidacy. And guess what? Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. So whatever your opinion of Biden in this primary, I asked this young voter last night, why is it that every other demographic doesn't vote for Sanders except yours? And you know what he said to me? This is one of, Michael, my last point, this is one of the my most favorite combinations of words in the English language when I'm about to tell you what his answer was to me, and it was this. I never thought about that. See, Mark? You see? If I had said, you know, you're a moron. You know, Rich, I never thought about that. Instead, Larkin, I decided to have an adult conversation with him, which is what our side doesn't do enough of with our young people. And you see, Michael, I could see the cogs in the wheel. And the young people are naturally utopian. You know, free stuff, make love, not war. Let's all get high. Hug a terrorist, no human is illegal. We all naturally feel that way. You know, the world is an amazing place when it's viewed through shades of white and black, Larkin, but then shades of gray set in. And that's what Larkin's talking about here, right, with our free enterprise, with our free market. And do you guys see what happens? Look at how the conversation has unfolded itself. It started with globalism. It started with dependency. Do you see how that conversation gets people at odds with each other? It divides. And that's why our dependency on these other nations, it really, truly could be our undoing, Michael. I just wanted to share that story with everyone.
Well, I want to just add one thing to this whole conversation today is, our goal of getting 50% of everything made in America again really has to be reviewed. And our America's consumers are the people who can make that happen. Every time you pick up a product that's made in the United States of America, the people on the manufacturing end are going to replace that product. That means a person has a job making it, packing it, distributing it, and selling it. Not just selling a foreign-made product that comes and is dumped on the store for sale. This is the point of everything that we do. We have to think the way we were supposed to be thinking 40 years ago, after World War II. Everything in the country was, let's make America the best place to do business. Let's get jobs moving. Let's have, you know, everything happy, happy, happy. We haven't been doing that in years. In years.
Let's rebuild the world, which is what we did. Let's rebuild the world. No,
we have to rebuild America first. We've already helped the world rebuild. We've already helped the world become great economies. We already helped the world get manufacturing over there. Yes, Mark.
Even what Larkin said, everything, even supply, demand, and Rich, how you talk adult conversation, that's educating our consumer. The consumer has the most power. They have to make the educated decision to buy made in America and why it matters. That's why we have to continue to be consistent with our message, educate, raise awareness. The movie was a good part. We need more of it on a national level.
There is one thing I'm going to add before we have to go off the air. When I speak to fellow or friends in the media, they say, Michael, your message is very difficult. And I say, tell me why. Because our customers largely represent products that are foreign made.
That's where their portfolios are, Mike.
This is what the problem is. Why would we talk against a car company or a clothing supply line or something when we all know where it's coming from? And if our big major stations said one word, don't buy this. Look at the situation that we had when we were having our products for the Olympics, all foreign made, our American uniforms. You remember it, Mark?
Oh, yeah.
Everything foreign made. David Muir and Sharon Alfonsi did a whole expose on it. And the people forgot about it already. The next Olympics will come, and they're supposedly going to be made all 100% in America. Guys, I want to say thank you because it was a wonderful show. I think we helped people understand the importance of sticking together, loving one another, looking out for one another. Stay well, be happy. This Thursday is St. Joseph's Day. We celebrate that in Polonia. Tuesday is St. Patrick's Day. Go out and have a good time, all of our Irish listeners. And God bless you, and may God bless America. Please go out and buy American, because American workers need us, American businesses need us, and our future, our young people who are in school right now, need us so that our companies grow here in the USA and are able to employ them. Have a great one. Best wishes to all. Thank you, Larkin, Mark, and Henry, and also Rich. As always, you are the very best. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. Enjoy.